is that we are made by Him and for Him. And I call that Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16 the designer label. You look at the little designer tag on the back of your shirt, tells you who it was made by. You know, whether you got the Fruit of the Loom or the Hanes or whatever. It's the designer label. Well, the designer label for a Christian, if you look around for it, well, we're made by God, for God. And discovering we're made by God, that's half of it. And that's a wonderful discovery. Wow. You mean I'm not just an accident? You mean I'm just random selection? That's what evolution believes, random selection. No, I'm made by God. I'm designed by God. Well, that's the half of it. But we're made not only by God, we're made for God. And tonight we're going to look at the for God, and that's Christian service. We're going to get to that in a moment. But I want to see how that builds up. We talked this morning about God designing us, and when He made us, there's the outer man, and then there's the inner man. We saw that just like the Mars Land Rover has a number of sensors that send back information and data to NASA, God has built every mortal man with at least 5 sensors. Sight, sound, taste, touch, smell. These are sensors. You wouldn't know your environment if you didn't have your senses. And so God has designed us with senses. It's amazing. How can anybody believe in evolution? Once having seen the mechanics of the inner ear. The microscopic miniature bones of the anvil, the hammer, and the stirrup. You mean that just randomly, through natural selection, evolved, and not only evolved, but evolved together, these 3 miniature bones in the human ear? We saw in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 12 this morning that the hearing ear and the seeing eye were both made by God. It didn't just say the ear and the eye were made by God, it said the hearing ear. See, there's a purpose for the ear. The seeing eye, there's a purpose for the eye. We are intelligently designed for a purpose. Isn't that wonderful? I find that exciting. How can anybody believe in evolution? Really, think about it. What do you call that? The Strachian tube? Is that what it's called? What it does is it keeps the pressure neutralized between the outer and the inner eardrum, on both sides of the eardrum. And if that didn't work, you know how it's an airplane when your ear hurts. There's a tube there. That's evolution? That is intelligent design. And we see that everywhere. And so we just finished singing this song, "Search Me, O God," in Psalm 139, and that's how it concludes. But that's also how it starts. What we tried to point out this morning is that just as the sensors on the Moon rover or the Mars Land Rover is sending back data to someone. When we look, God sees what we see. When we hear, God hears what we hear. When we touch, God feels what we touch. What do you mean? Psalm 139, "O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising." He knows when I sit down and when I get up. How does He know that? Remember the sensors? Wow. See, a lot of people think that the sensors just hardwired to the brain. In other words, my body is made for me. What goes on in my mind is not personal business, thank you very much. Oh, really? You have no idea. You have no idea. Now, 200 years ago, they might not even be able to comprehend what we're trying to talk about today. But today with wireless communication, let me suggest to you and to me that God knows everything we're doing, while we're doing it. We are designed, we're made by Him for a purpose, and He gave us eyes to see. Isn't God called light? Why would one called light design an eye? So we could see Him. Isn't God called the Word? Why would He design an ear? So we could hear Him. See, He gave us the senses so that we could know Him, so we could experience Him, so we could enjoy Him, so we could have a relationship with Him. And we saw this morning that besides the five senses, there's one sense out there somewhere that people want to call the sixth sense, intuition or something, which is really the spiritual sense that was broken when man sinned in the garden. The natural man receiveth not. See, we are a receiver. You are a receiver. And God is sending out the message. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. You see, we're each of us a little independent receiver. And God is pouring out information about who He is and His greatness and the wonder of His creation to us constantly, but being bombarded. And like Bartimaeus, we need to ask, what does it mean, this thing that I'm hearing? He heard a commotion. He couldn't see, but he could hear. And he said, what does this mean? And every time we see something, we should ask, what does it mean? Every time we hear something, we should say, what does it mean? Every time we touch something, what is this? What does this mean? That's the genius of the engineering of a human being. All things were made by Him. We need to move on to that, from that to the all things were made for Him. Really? Why did he make me? Why did He make you? Thou knowest my sound sittings and my uprising. Thou knowest my thought afar off. How does God know my thought? When we talk about the brain being hardwired, you think God doesn't know what you're thinking? He knows what we're thinking. Thou compassest my path, my lying down. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. Remember the little Land Rover running around on the planet Mars? Somebody's watching wherever it goes. Do you think that God for one moment is not watching where we go? Yeah. Sunday night comes. Well, we're going to go to the chapel? No. Well, we might not miss you. Crowd might be so great. You don't notice you're there. But God sees you as you turn on the Disney World of color or whatever. I don't know what they have on Sunday night. I'm not home on Sunday night anymore. But God knows. Look, he's turning on Walt Disney. That's why on Judgment Day, no one will open their mouth. But if that's, we'll see what we said, we'll see what we did, we see what we thought, we see what we saw. You go into the bookstore, which book will we stop at? The magazine rack, which one will we pull off? When we see something we're not supposed to see, will we go back for the second book? He's right there. Oh, he's going back for a second. No, he's going back for a third look. Boy, he's looking awful long time. I'm talking about the spiritual senses that God has given us. When we become born again, we have this new sense, a spiritual sense, that allows us, enables us to use our instruments. That's what Paul talks about in Romans. To use our instruments, not for sin, but for Him. We use our instrument. That's Romans chapter 6. We'll get to that in a moment. But I want us to see here that we are receivers. You and I are receivers. And until we're born again, we're not receiving the spiritual message. And so no wonder a person that's not born again cannot do anything to serve God, because he's broken. Now, verse 5, thou set me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I go flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven. In other words, we got these five senses. And not only do they let us know where we're going, and God knows where we're going. I know God is omniscient. I know God is everywhere present. I know all of that. But you see, God is created with an intelligent design. He made these things for a reason. What we see, et cetera, et cetera. Take a look at Malachi chapter 3. What a wonderful idea this is. Malachi chapter 3. All things made by him and for him. And we're going to look, of course, at spiritual service. Malachi chapter 3. You got it? Take a look at verse 16. Wow. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Can you see this little conversation going on here? Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Here God is recording in a special book every time we think of him. Every time we think of him. And some people think of him so seldom. Maybe even on a Sunday morning you might think of him a little bit. But that's it. That's all I think about it for the rest of the week. God's recording every time we think of him. It's in a book. Wow. In other words, we are an intelligent design. God didn't just make our brain just for us. Apparently, he derives some pleasure when we think of him. Take a look at John chapter 3. Now, this all started because of Bartimaeus. You have to blame him. I was thinking about Bartimaeus and his little broken sensor. We have 5 sensors, and he had 1 sensor that was broken, his seeing sensor. And so, here I am thinking about all of these things just because of Bartimaeus. And, of course, the Lord fixed his fifth sense, and then he gave him the sixth sense as well. And that was a spiritual sense. See, Bartimaeus, what do you want, Bartimaeus? He said, that I might receive my sight. Now, if you look at it in the original, it says that I might receive my sight again. This tells me something. What does it tell me? He knew what he was missing. He knew what he was missing. It was time in his life when he could see. I don't know if it was a little child or something. He said that I might receive my sight again. He's not like a man born blind, not Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus knew what it was like to see a sunset. And he said, oh, what do you want that I should do for you? That's another lesson. I don't know if I'll get to teach it here or not. There's too much in it, but Bartimaeus teaches us how to pray. There are about 10 things to learn about prayer from Bartimaeus. What do you want for me to do for you? The Lord asked him. If God asked you, what would you like me to do for you? You had one request. Now, this is not the genie in the bottle, you know, rubbing the bottle. But guess what? That's what he asked Bartimaeus. He said, what do you want me to do for you? He's talking about one thing. You see, if he asked, what 10 things, you would probably throw in a whole bunch of stuff you don't really need. And by the way, Lord, I surely would like to get a new car or how about a convertible? Splinter hubcaps, you know. He asked for stuff that you don't really need if you had 10. But if you only had one, prayer request, do you know what you'd ask for right now? See, that's how you really pray. When there's something so consuming your heart, so overwhelming your heart, that you don't have to think about it. That's what you want with all of your heart. That's the way faith works. If with all your heart, Bartimaeus didn't say, you mean I get a prayer request? Let me think about it. Jesus would have been gone already. He knew what he wanted. Lord, that I could see again. Remember? And then he said, because your faith. The Lord points to his faith. There's a lot of things we learn about prayer from Bartimaeus. It's not the blind leading the blind. It's the once blind leading the once blind. God knows our thoughts. Bartimaeus received his fifth sensor to see. But he also received a spiritual sense. And the Lord speaks of it in John chapter 3. Verse 3. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot. Hello. See. You see, there is a spiritual application and a spiritual essence involved in every one of the senses. People can see, and then there are people who can see. There are people who can hear, and then there are people who can hear. Remember Paul on the road to Damascus? People around him just heard voices. They were like a thunder noise. Paul heard the Lord Jesus. See, there are people who can really see, call it spiritual discernment. For people who can hear God, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Remember, we are designed receivers. God made us to be receivers. We have at least five receivers, sensors. And then we have a spiritual sensor that was broken by sin and it is restored when we're born again. The natural man receiveth not things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Why? Because sin broke that receiver. Not that God's not sending out the message. Because the receiver is broken, we don't hear it. Eli had no idea that God was sending out a message. Little Samuel heard something. Here I am. Go back to bed. All right. Samuel. Wait a minute. Here I am. You see, there's people who hear and there's people who hear. Eli could hear, but he couldn't hear. God was speaking and he couldn't hear. Now, why is this so important about spiritual service? Because a lot of people think that just working around the church is spiritual service. Not necessarily so. Does this make sense? In other words, they're seeing and they're seeing, there's hearing and there's hearing, there's service and there's service. We're made by Him for Him. And so what we're going to see is when we serve, He not only gives us the equipment to serve, but when it's spiritual service, we're serving Him. See, if you serve some man, not only won't you get any spiritual reward because you serve some man, but you'll probably get all worn out in the process. But if you use what God has given you to be used by God, that's spiritual service. Except the man be born again, Nicodemus, he cannot see the kingdom of Nicodemus. He didn't understand. What are you talking about? I can see. How can a man be born again? He didn't understand. Can he enter a second time into his mother's? He wasn't comprehending. He wasn't thinking spiritually. He needed to be born again. And once a person is born again, then all of a sudden it starts to make sense. Why? Because now the receiver is fixed, and now God's sending out His message, God's sending out His Word, and we're receiving it. We're receiving it. I open up the Bible, and the Holy Spirit according to Romans, chapter 8, His Spirit witnesses with my spirit. Oh, isn't the Bible say that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things? Does it say that? See, that thing is, that spiritual receiver is broken. It's not teaching us all things. It's a matter of spirit. He's looking for those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. There are a lot of people going through the motions of worshiping Him. Everywhere. There's religion everywhere. Certainly was enough religion in Samaria. They had their own mountain. You have this mountain. Moriah, we have Gerizim. We got our own mountain, thank you very much. Everybody's got their own mountain. Everybody's got their own shrine. Everybody's got their own temple. Everybody's got their own tabernacle. And they're worshiping God like crazy, except one problem. They're not worshiping God. Why? Because that's a spiritual thing. Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Then you'll see. Then you'll see. You see, we are receivers. I can't emphasize that too much. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. First Corinthians chapter 4. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. If you can't be faithful, you can't be anything. If you can't be faithful, you can't be anything. Let me jump down here. Verse 6. And these things, brethren, I have a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. See, I thought too much of men. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. That was their problem. They were thinking too much of men. And we all have our favorites. Oh, how dangerous that is. And he's pointing out here that I'm using myself as an illustration. I'm using Apollos as an illustration to teach something. We think too much of men. That which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against the other. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not, there's that word again, receive? And if thou didst receive it, then why dost thou glory as thou hast not received it? See, we're receivers. And God gives gifts unto man. If he gives you a gift, he gave you the gift. There's no room for boasting. There's no room for pride. Really, it's a gift. We are receivers. Inasmuch as God gave us a receiver like an eye for a purpose. You say it's to see. Yes, but it's to see Him. The heavens declare the glory of God. See, the Puritans are wonderful with that. They realized that God had surrounded them with a million lessons. They didn't even have to have Sunday school. Sunday school wasn't even invented yet. The Puritans didn't have Sunday school. The whole world was a Sunday school and a Monday school. They would look at everything and see the hand of God. You ever read any Puritan works? Cotton Mather and stuff. Everything around them was, look at the wood, the grain of the wood, the bugs on the branch, the birds in the trees, the worms in the ground, the clouds in the sky. They didn't need scripture press. They were spiritually sensitive and acute and alert to everything around them that was placed there by God so that they could see His greatness and His wonder. The heavens declare the glory of God and His wonder showeth, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Yes, but so does the ant. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider His ways and be wise. The big things, the little things, everything spoke of God. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hand hath made, I hear the rolling thunder. What do you think of when you hear that? God. See? All of our senses should be causing us to think of Him. See, He made us by Him, for Him. And so many people use the senses just to be sensual, just to use for themselves. They say, well, my body is my body, my mind is my mind, my taste buds are my taste buds. No, you weren't made for yourself. You're made for God, even your brain. Are my thoughts are my thoughts. No, God is monitoring and reading every single thought. All things were made by Him and for Him, and was not anything made that was made. Now let's turn to Romans. We just finished seeing, of course, sanctification and then sovereignty. We didn't go through sovereignty in depth. We didn't go through sanctification in depth. We really did skim the surface. This is the survey. Sin, salvation, sanctification, sovereignty and service. That's the Christian curriculum. That's it. That's it. Sanctification is what we've just been talking about. It's not us, it's God in us. God that worketh in you both the will and to do his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. It is God working in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Not by the will of man, not by the will of the flesh, not by blood, but of God. See, if it's just willpower, anybody can do that. You can play baseball with willpower, talent and skill, or basketball. And we settle for that. God wants us to go beyond that. Made by him, made for him. We said last time that there is a spiritual ballast in the middle of the book. That's just my opinion. Romans 8:28 is a spiritual ballast. It helps us through the rough waters of this world. All things work together for good to them that love God, to those that are called according to, there it is right there, his purpose. Remember, God is a God of great design. And the genius of his order and orderliness is evident everywhere. The fact that somehow the scientists now have discovered this thing called DNA. The Bible's always spoken of that. Psalm 139, all my members are written in a book. That's DNA, if you want. The recipe for your life. It's all written there. And we haven't even scratched the surface. Even if they somehow could make a man, which they really can't, but if they could, you have to start with something. They start with something. God started with nothing. Even if they could make a man, they wouldn't know what to do with him. Now what are you telling them to do? I made you. Now what are you going to tell them to do? Go out and do what? Make me proud? What a horrible thought. You know that I made you. It'd be a horrible thought. I better believe it would be. Isn't it more wonderful to know that God made us, and behind everything there's a good God who designed us for a purpose. And all things are working together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. I need to set my life. So what are we doing here? Here we go again. That little Martian Land Rover. What's it looking for? What does NASA scientists want to find out? They're going to study the little dirt, the red dirt. They're going to look around for microbes. They're going to look for any signs of water. They want to find something out. Something. And it's going to be sending back data, and scientists and NASA are going to study over the data, and they're going to say, oh, we discovered this. What did God give us the five sensors for? The sight, the sound, the touch. So we could discover him and his purpose for us. And we need to ask, like Bartimaeus, what does it mean, Lord? And so I ask you, do you know what your spiritual gift is? All things were made by him, for him, according to his purpose. Chapter 8. And then we saw that sovereignty is bowing before the goodness of God. I might not understand why he does one thing or does another. We talked about it last time. Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. I hate you. Well, that'd be horrible if God looked at you and said, I just hate you. Whoa. I don't think that's what it means. And in other words, I choose you. I only can choose one. That's not fair. Well, first of all, I would say that nowhere in the Bible where it says it's supposed to be fair. But I'll go even beyond that. I'm getting into a little theology now. Later on, we see that God has the right to graft in the descendants of Esau if he wants to. That's what the whole thing is about, his sovereignty. He has the right to cut off. He has the right to graft in. Yes, he chose Jacob. Yes, we come through the line of, the Jews come through the line of Isaac. But God in His sovereignty can engraft anyone that He wants, even the Gentiles. Isn't God good? And God's word says that no Moabite should enter in. And there I see Ruth. What are you doing here? God is sovereign. And He engrafted me in a family tree. More startling than Ruth is you and me. How'd you get here? How did I get here? I don't know. I'm puzzled by that. And all I can say is God is good and God is sovereign. And we bow before His sovereignty that we find. Now, after we've seen the sin, and after we've seen the salvation, after we see the sanctification, after we see the sovereignty, now we come to the purpose, and that's the service. Why? We were saved to serve. We were saved to serve. And now, Paul goes into the very practical demonstration of a transformed life that works itself out in service. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, says the King James. I'm going to say your spiritual worship or whatever. It's the purpose we are created. Does the thing work? It's got gears and it's got an axle and a camshaft and a piston. Does it do anything? Well, no, it doesn't do anything. What good is it? You see, an intelligent design is for a purpose. And we saw in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 12, it is a hearing ear and a seeing eye. The purpose was in God's mind before He made the instrument. It's a seeing ear. It's a hearing ear, it's a seeing eye. And the engine that the intelligent engineer makes is for a purpose. Before he put the first bolt, cast the first die, he had this purpose in mind. I'm going to make this thing. You know, you can move around in transportation and automobile. Our spiritual worship or our spiritual service or our reasonable service, that's the purpose we're here. And we need to find that and do it. And God has equipped each and every one of us. And here Paul talks about us as being members of a body. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There again, that's it. It's again, we keep coming back to it. The will of God. The will of God. The will of God. The will of God. That's the blueprint for my life. The will of God. Now, we sometimes think we know better. And we roll out our own blueprints. But we don't know what God knows. And after we get finished kicking out some supporting walls, the whole thing starts to cave in and we go, whoa! Well, it's so much better to use God's plan and God's will, the will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought. Whoa! Now why is that there? We're talking about spiritual service. There's such a danger, once we are used of God, to feel so proud. Such a danger. Some preacher said that after preaching a good message, the devil's the first one to congratulate him. Well, that was a good message. Now, there's nothing wrong with somebody saying, brother, that encouraged me. Brother, that challenged me. But there's a difference between flattering someone and a spiritual response. Brother Carl, he's translating one of my little booklets into Spanish. And that's kind of humbling, or it could be very prideful. One of my little booklets translating into Spanish, and he sent back to me a corrected copy with all of my grammatical errors. That was humbling too. And I say that to say, he wrote a proviso before he covered my little book with red ink. And he said, please don't be offended. As I have observed some, what I feel to be grammatical errors. I am attempting as a brother, iron sharpening iron. And when I looked at some of it, I said, ouch. And other times I said, wow, how could I miss that? You see, how easy it is to take the very same thing and either be humbled by it or be proud by it. The very same thing. So we go through this life and we need to be very, very careful. Satan is continually trying to puff us up so that he can destroy the communication and the censor that we have with God, so that we're not in harmony with heaven. And God is constantly trying to teach us and make us to grow. Man should not think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt every man the measure of faith. To be used of God is a wonderful thing. But once you've been on the mountaintop, you gotta come down. You can't live up there. And after some great thing happened in our life, that's oftentimes where Satan will trip us up. And so here, Paul's going to talk about these spiritual gifts. He's saying, hey, wait a minute, don't think so great. Don't be thinking so much. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. Boy, I love to hear him preach. I love to hear him preach. Boy, that can either be good or bad. That can be either good or bad. It could be either spirit or flesh. The Bible says that flattery is an abomination out of hell. Why? Because of this. It takes the glory away from God and gives it to man. What do we have that we have not received? Right? You can't take credit for your good looks. You were born good looking, right? That's the way you are. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing how we congratulate people for things that they never even accomplished. You're born in America good looking. Well, people bow down to you. They roll out red carpets. They put you in the movies. What did you do to deserve that? Wow. So much better to be born ugly. Yeah. And to be able to find God, or to have one of the censors broken and not be one of the movers and shakers. To be like Bartimaeus, broken down on the side of the road of life, because they're the people who find God. God found us when we were broken down. And these movers and shakers and these people, quote, going places, they don't have time for God. That's what Bill Gates said. He doesn't have time for God. He said that for church, he said. I'm making too many billions of dollars. I don't have time for that. I waste my Sunday. You know how much he said, you know how much I can do on a Sunday morning, he said? How productive I can be on Sunday morning? With all of his computers, he has no idea that what he sees, God sees. What he hears, God hears. What he touches, God touches. And one day he's going to have to give an account. And he was made by God, and he hasn't realized yet that he was made for God. Terrible. And then he goes through the gifts. For as we have many members in one body, he uses the metaphor of a body, because we can understand that. We talked about that today. God uses the metaphor of a body to explain himself and our purpose, because it's something that we live with. We live with our body. And we can understand God by understanding the body. We talk about God touching. We talk about the hand of God. We talk about the mind of God. We talk about the eye of God. We talk about the ear of God. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear, nor his hand shortened that it cannot say. We use the body as a metaphor to understand. God doesn't have hands. God doesn't have ears. God doesn't have eyes. But it's a metaphor that helps us to understand who God is. And now he uses the same metaphor for us to understand how the body works. And we understand a body has many members. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophesy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, and he that teacheth on teaching, and he that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, and he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And then goes on. There are three places where spiritual gifts are enumerated in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and the church unfortunately gets all kind of bogged down in discussing the gifts. And I think each and every one of us needs to understand the gifts. But the one main idea of the gift that 1 Corinthians 12 points out is that God gives the gift. Spirit gives severally as He will. It's again God's will. We don't have the right to say, I like sports cars, or I like vans, or I like cheap cars. We don't have that luxury. God gives severally as He will. We just finished talking about sovereignty. And He gives some to be one thing, He gives some to be another. I've given a list of the gifts here. You can go through this yourself in your leisure. I think the gifts work as I've enumerated them and listed them in the little panel on the left. Now, I didn't invent that. I think I learned that or heard that 30 years ago from Bill Gothard. And it seemed to make sense to me. Now, you can erase that, you can run red lines through that, you can step on that, you can curse that. That's not Bible. That's just how I think it works. That's just my understanding of how it works. The three lists of gifts. One are motivational, one are manifestational, one are ministry. How does it work? Once again, there's the purpose. I'm thinking in terms of what's the purpose. How does it work? Well, I believe that the church has these gifts that are listed in Romans chapter 12. Those are the gifts that make up the local assembly, the basic bulk of the gifts. And these gifts I call motivational gifts, because God puts this desire in our heart to serve Him some way. That's why God said to Nicodemus, Christ said to Nicodemus, what would you have for me to, what do you want me to do for you? Now the tables turn and God says, what would you like to do for me? Now remember now, there's a sensual and there's a spiritual. There's a carnal and there's a spirit. My Bible says that God gives us the desire of our heart. And I believe that each and every one of us has every one of these, what we call spiritual gifts. That's my opinion. That's my opinion. I told that in a conference one time, and a whole bunch of people got all upset and came to me. They said, no, you only have one gift. And I don't want to argue about that. I think everybody has an obligation to give and a capacity to give, and everybody should be given. I think everybody should be able to teach, to tell somebody how they can know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, to show them in the Scriptures where this verse is and where that verse is, so they're able to teach. I believe that everyone should be able to encourage somebody. It says, encourage one another. So every one of these capacities we all have. But one is dominant. If you know anything about genes, if you have a certain dominant gene, you have dark hair. If you have the particular gene is not predominant, you don't have any hair. It's in the gene. And so you have this dominant desire to teach, or this dominant desire, what I call prophecy, to preach. And there's a difference between preaching and teaching. We'll talk maybe more about this later. I want you to look at it first and think about, what's my motivation? What's my burden? What's my passion? Remember now, if you could have 10 gifts, you might pick them all. But if God said, what would you like to do? Now, there are some jobs at the assembly that, even though you have the gift for it, that's not necessarily the need right now. And so that's the sovereignty of God and the submission to God's will. But God knows the desire of your heart. And one of the reasons there's trouble in the church is because people don't appreciate the fact that God sovereignly gives the gifts. What do you mean? Well, one brother has the gift of mercy, And he sees through spiritual eyes a little bit different than the person who has the gift of prophecy. Now, the person with the gift of prophecy thinks like a prophet. Now, the Old Testament prophet would be able to say, thus saith the Lord, even before